what are the do's and don'ts of debriefing? Who can debrief? And should we be debriefing as colleagues? And if we're in a position to debrief, what are some of the things we want to look at in this? So who can debrief?
That's a good question, yeah, because sometimes we don't have the safe environment. We don't set aside an hour time to talk about deeper issues. Debriefing happens casually. It's like counseling happens casually. You have an experience and you come home and you talk to your spouse about it. Or your kids come from school and what do? They talk about the events in school. My kids at least do. And they vent and talk, oh, he was so mean and how can boys be like this? And that's debriefing. And what is my role here is, oh, shut up. No, I listen. What did you think when he said this? How did it make you feel like? Or I just sit there and I listen. And, well, sometimes I feel like I'm the rubbish bin for my children. But that's okay. I'm the father. I'm the parent. It makes them feel good. It makes them be more relaxed. And it makes them valuable that their experience is listened to by somebody else. And it's appreciated. So who can be a debriefer? Everybody actually can be a debriefer. I think there are still certain guidelines for this, which quite often when we listen to in casual conversations, there is a response which doesn't support the debriefing. It rather shuts up the person who wants to share. Like this whole concept of shame, and we are afraid of opening up ourselves because the other person might react in a way that shames me, that I don't like, because I open up certain deeper areas of my life. And we all are afraid of being laughed at and being rejected in a way. That's why it's sometimes good to have a safe environment with clear guidelines, clear boundaries, and you can feel confidential, you can open up, and you know the other person won't laugh about me.
So what are some of the do's and don'ts then in a debriefing session? If we found that safe environment, whether it's a husband-wife relationship or whether it's a colleague relationship, what are some of the do's and don'ts that create the boundaries in a debriefing session?
Yeah, what I just said is laughing. You don't laugh about what the other person says. You don't say, well, this is really silly how you feel. You don't ignore what he or she says, and then you don't give any solutions either. Well, in my life, I would have done this, or when I was in this situation. We quite often have this in conversations. I share something, and then, well, when I was that age, I had this and this. But actually, what you want is to be listened to. Or when a child shares, you say, well, your younger brother does it this way. Why don't you do it that way, too? This comparison, you don't really do that either. Another don't is you don't have interruptions. In a safe environment, safe conversation where somebody opens up, you don't have your cell phone ring. Or there is no emailing or anything like this, unless it's absolutely important. It's like counseling. You have clear boundaries, and it's important to feel welcome, to feel comfortable, and to feel safe. Safe insecurity prevents us from feeling ashamed of what's going on, and especially kids. Kids don't want to open up. They can't really open up their inner life. And once it is open, it's very vulnerable. And you don't want to pick your finger in this vulnerable situation that hurts and the child immediately closes down and is afraid.
Okay, so some of the guidelines of the don'ts is don't laugh, don't ignore, don't offer solutions, which we often want to do. We want to fix the problem. Don't compare your other situations, your own life or children or colleagues. Make it a safe environment, no interruptions. So those are some of the don'ts. What are some of the do's in debriefing?
I think the main do is to listen. You need good listening skills. And one way of doing it is to mirror. You repeat what the person just said. I hear you say this and this. I hear you say this incident really made you afraid. So you repeat what the person said, and that way you are on the same level. You show empathy. You show, I really listen to you. I really care what you say. Just imagine you share from your heart and this person really listens to you. Usually we can't listen. Usually people don't listen to when I say because they immediately think, oh, in my situation, it was like this. But just imagine you repeat what you just heard. Oh, that makes a massive difference. And it helps the person to sort out their own feelings and thoughts, etc. And then one of the other do's is you accept what the person says. It's just their worldview. Even if you think their worldview is wrong or their theology is wrong and your theology is better, or you want to discuss this topic about the way they have approached this issue, you just accept the fact. It's not the time to discuss theology, discuss the way of life. You try to see the world through the person's eyes, and that's very valuable. That really connects you with the person who you are talking about and who you are talking to. Yeah, accept what the person is saying. Comfort him. If there are tears, if there are sadness, well, I really feel for you. Well, this really brings tears to my eyes. With touch in cross-cultural and counseling situation, that's always tricky. I wouldn't necessarily touch unless you're in a public situation or unless it's your spouse or your own child. But you can express sort of a touch with words. You say, you say what I just said. This really brings tears to my eyes when you say this. This really grieves me too. You show empathy, you comfort. You don't solve the problem. You just let it flow, sort of. And then in the end, you pray. You commit all of this to God. And be careful that you don't preach when you pray. We like to preach, and then we give our own testimonies how we solve this situation. And then you immediately shut up the person. No, you just pray, oh, thank you, Lord, that you love this person. Thank you, Lord, that he or she is able to open up that way. What precious thing to open up that way. Thank you that you are working in this person's life. And depending on the issues, you can also ask that you don't sit in the negatives of the depressive and fearful and angry emotions, that you can ask, what did you learn from all of this? And then in prayer, you can also say, thank you that we always learn more about you, Lord. Thank you that you lead us through the valley of darkness, but there are green pastures in the end. Sort of these things that relate to the person where you give the person the feeling you are able to see the world through his or her eyes. I think that's top.
So some of the guidelines for us to remember as we debrief, because we debrief each other, our colleagues, our husbands, wives, our families, is yes. Guidelines of no laughing, don't ignore, don't offer solutions, don't offer comparisons, especially with our children, saying brothers and sisters did this or your brother did this. A safe environment, no interruptions, possibly even making no notes if it's a colleague, keeping yes. It very, very confidential. Some of the do's, listen, repeat what you said, what the individual said, be empathetic as you listen, accept what they say. They're coming from a different worldview, a different angle, and it's okay. Comfort with tears and sadness as how they feel. At the end, you said offer it in prayer, and that's really true, is being able to lay this before the Lord. We're not using debriefing as a time to solve problems. Yes. It's a time to share, and we do it every day. And it's very, very important for each one of us to do this for the people that we're with. Thank you very much, Felix, for joining us and for encouraging us as we minister together.